Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the house might have been haunted, but she felt a strong attachment to it and still regrets moving away.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? Kathy and I would love to hear it. We'd love to share it. Call in anytime at 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You want an ad-free version of the show? You can get that. You'll also get advanced episodes, access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. Kathy, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, and you are right. I love listening to these stories. Send them in, people.
I mean, they're fun and creepy, yeah. And they're more fun when we're recording in the middle of the day, like today.
It's easier, for sure.
So this morning, I got up, and I went into my kitchen. Now, keep in mind, what I'm about to talk about, I highly doubt is paranormal. I have cats. So everything gets to be blamed on my cats, especially the younger one, Izzy. But I went into the kitchen, and there were like, Izzy has pieces of paper. It's kind of cute. He likes to chase you, wad them up, and then he goes and takes them and puts them in the water bowl. I don't know why, but he does that all the time. So there's paper in the water bowl. But it was weird because in the kitchen, there was plastic bags in my kitchen on the floor. And I'm like, where the hell those plastic bags come from? Pick them up. Don't give it another thought. And so I'm going to text you this picture, Kathy. So then in my garage, those plastic bags like you get from the grocery store, I've got a couple big bags hanging up high. I'd say they're probably, you know, eye height, which isn't high because I'm only 5'2", but for me. And so they're kind of over to one side in the garage. My cat likes to sleep on top of my car in my garage. But I walked out my garage when I got ready to leave for lunch, and one of those plastic bags that holds the other plastic bags that then you take it to the grocery store to have them recycled, mm-hmm. It's pulled off the wall. I have it held up there with a nail. It's pulled off the wall, and I have plastic bags all over. They're all over in the garage. So that's what I sent you a picture of.
They are. They are absolutely all over. You guys, it is a hot mess. Trash bags all over the floor. And
the big one in the middle, that's the one that holds all of them. But as you can see, they've all been pulled out. There's probably 25 of the little bags been pulled out of the big one. And I don't get how Izzy was chasing a moth, I guess, and jumped up there and somehow pulled it off the nail.
And then when it came down, it was like Christmas.
Maybe the moth got into the big plastic bag.
Izzy would just like digging around in the plastic bags. It wouldn't even have to have a moth.
But it's one of those things. I walked out there and I just stopped. And I'm like,
okay,
what is
we're going to blame
this?
It on cats. Now, I'm not saying that it couldn't have been something weird, but Izzy does like to play with paper and bags and things. It would be like, oh my God, best thing ever.
But
right?
What's weird is that it's on a nail. It's a pretty big nail. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to lift it up to get it off the nail. So I don't know how Izzy did that because it's probably 3-4 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
I was a little stumped by it, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to go with cats.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still out there because I didn't have time to clean them up. Our mom had a hair appointment. We had to have lunch and had to take her to get her hair done. But I was like, what the
and
hell?
And go to Schlotsky's.
Every week. That's exactly what we do. So I don't know what that was.
I can see when the bag came down, Izzy would like love that.
Yeah, but how Izzy got the bag down?
How the bag got down, that one I'm not sure about.
That's the tough part.
I don't know why.
That's why I tell you
way.
To get a cat. It helps with the paranormal suspicions because you can always just say cat. But
true.
I will shut that door every night before I go to bed because I don't want to heat the garage. And it's just the door that goes into the kitchen from the garage. But that little shit will open that. Every night I get up, every morning, it is open. So we've got a story. Let's get to this story.
Yeah, I'm interested in this.
Okay, so here we go. I finally worked up the courage to send in a story after hearing an episode with a Savannah, Georgia story. I won't go too much into my background this time for time's sake, but this occurred about the time I was beginning to realize that it didn't just consistently move into haunted homes. You're going to relate to this.
That's what I thought. I thought I could relate to this.
Did you write this? Which is what I thought. Maybe I was sensitive or attracting stuff. I'm a native Southerner, and most people accept that this stuff is real because it's everywhere. I was in college and had recently started working for one of the tour companies. Yes, I'm one of those. Savannah has a reputation for a reason. The not untrue joke is that you're always walking on bodies. In Savannah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I was looking for a place to stay and responded to an ad for a room in a Victorian house in the historic district. The minute I arrived, I knew I was home. It was a beautiful yellow Victorian near Forsyth Park. An elderly, graceful gentleman owned it and lived on the bottom floor, which was decorated in elegant 20s period decor. The rest of the house was parceled out into apartments, which students rented out. First odd thing, I can't express to you how at home I felt. I always sincerely regretted moving out of that place. I started to notice a presence around the place, objects moving, but brushed it off as what it is. I lived in an 1800s home. The first presence was a gentle, motherly presence almost. I just felt comforted. One night, I was nodding off and I heard, "May." I thought, gee, I should blow those candles out. I heard again, "Get up." Nodded off again. Then I was shoved so hard, I bounced to a sitting position in my bed. I blew out my candles and fell asleep. It didn't feel bad or malevolent. That's why I had no fear. It's interesting because it's like the candles were left burning, which is really a bad idea when you fall asleep.
Right.
It was like whatever it was like, blow those candles out.
Once yeah, she did, taken care of her.
Once she did, they're like, fine. But they made sure she woke up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The next really bizarre thing is I would come down the mahogany staircase, which was decorated in the period, and there was a large antique mirror to my left. I always had an odd feeling coming down this staircase. Out of my peripheral, I would see myself descending the staircase, but in a beautiful bell-shaped pink gown with my gloved hands sliding down the railing. I am certain this is not my imagination because I'm a woman, but I'm not buying into pink and wearing silk gloves. When this happened, which was nearly every time, I felt a swelling of excitement that would then stop with terror. What the hell is this? If I looked directly in the mirror, it would just be me, only in my peripheral. Remember, at this point, I was in denial and blamed it on lighting, etc., but I could not logically figure out anything that would influence the shape or color in my peripheral. I shared the bathroom with another roommate who is male. I would take a shower and the door would swing open. The door did swing open by itself on an incline. I would rush out and lock it. It had a deadbolt, thinking I must have left it unlocked. This continued to happen often, well after I knew I had locked it. Our washer and dryer was also located there. The dryer would slam shut, and I would yell from the shower, "Joe, I'm in here, come on," only to find no one there. This was not a pleasant feeling. Soon the feeling began to turn for me there. I was into religious
iconography.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Iconography. Easy for Kathy to say. She teaches that sort of thing. I was into religious, take it, Kathy, iconography. For the antiquiness of it at the time, a friend gave me a beautiful mother with child set that I set on my shelf. I came home to find it on the floor. In denial, I just put it back on the shelf, went about my business. The next day, I saw something on the floor. I picked it up, and it was baby Jesus's head. It had cleanly been broken off from the mother. I said, "Not in my house," angrily, plugged in my glue gun, and glued Jesus's head back on. At this point, I was not okay with the activity. At that age, like most, I was figuring out a lot of things. It was a transitional time, and I needed a place to recoup, work my butt off, and go to school. Soon my sleep became really disrupted. I had weird dreams. My wooden, ancient Victorian windows would rattle violently. This had never happened in my year of living there prior, so it could not be chalked up to the conditions, like I'm thinking weather conditions.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I nodded off, clack, clack, clack. I had learned at work that I was living and had the authority to tell whatever this was to stop, and I did. I need rest, and you cannot do that while I'm sleeping. I finally said it one night, and it never happened again. I decided I needed a larger place to live. Now, this part's interesting to me. I always regretted moving from there, as strange as it sounds. I felt like I belonged there. I felt that there was more than one entity. I also wanted to know if there could be a past life or timeline mix up there. I love this experience because it just goes to show you that not all of these things are evil or unearthly. I would love to hear your theories. Keep up the good work. I will totally write or call in with some tour stories or good old Southern childhood stories. Love, Mia. What do you think about that? Because it kind of like she's like, I regret moving away. It didn't feel evil or unearthly, but it... Of course it had to have. Like, there were parts of it that scared her.
Right. That's why I think she's right, that maybe there was more than one thing happening there.
Yeah, but yet...
What about the idea of, like, a reincarnation, that you were the person living in that house, and that's why you feel so connected to the house and why you see yourself in a mirror?
I've always kind of bought into reincarnation, to be honest, because without it, what really makes sense about you and I, and we're here and talking, I mean, what makes sense about your own life?
Yeah, you know? I always liked the idea that maybe reincarnation is like we get second chances and third chances to come back and, you know, try again in a different way, or, you know, trying to lead a better life or whatever, and then till we get it right or something.
And take the lessons that you learned, or if you didn't learn a lesson, that you've got to come back and try again because you obviously didn't get it right. That kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But then to have this feeling like when you're walking down a staircase and she could feel the ball gown and it was pink and she had gloves on, but she's not one to dress like that. I mean, what's that all about?
I know. That's why that made me wonder that. But then, too, I can also sympathize or I get what she's talking about when she's saying that she feels super connected to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lived in the apartment in the old building that had been the funeral home in the 1880s, right? It was a funeral home. I think I felt very connected to it, too. To the point I even was, after my daughter had moved out and it was only me there anymore, I kind of felt like maybe I need to get out. Like, whatever is here is maybe can... being a little bit too comfortable with me. Or, you know, I remember there was a movie when we were kids, a scary movie, and I'm trying to remember who the woman was that played the lead role, but she, at the end of the movie, like, you know, there were this kind of all these scary things going on in this big old house, and at the end of the movie, like, everyone else had left and was gone. And then you see her sitting up in the attic, rocking in the chair by herself, like she's been completely taken over. And I oddly kind of felt like that. Like, well, I kind of maybe need to get away.
I agree with that, because I was never, and to this day, I'm still not comfortable in that apartment. I was never comfortable in that apartment. I didn't think you should live there. I express that. I'm like, what are you doing buying an apartment, a building, number one, that used to be a funeral home built in the 1880s? But when I went there to visit you, I'm like, oh no, Kathy, this is not good. And then that one time when you left and I'm there, it didn't like me. Like, yeah. I'm a good person, but
yeah,
I don't know.
But it was like it loved me.
Yeah.
You know,
to me, I think this is kind of a situation like that, because when you read the story, I get the motherly presence. There was something mm-hmm. there that was caring and good. Get that.
Mm-hmm.
I think my house feels like a nice warm hug. Like, I just think there are some places you go that just feel good energy and all that. But at the same time, there was something when she was in the bathroom that was messing with her. And she said, This was not, and that was in capitals, this was not a pleasant feeling. And then mm-hmm. baby Jesus getting knocked off.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty
creepy.
She
had to glue the head back on.
But I did have to laugh her taking the hot glue gun to baby Jesus. That was kind of funny. But you're right that it's just like
so there's some creepy stuff. But then when she moves out, are you just romanticizing it? Going, oh, that was such a great place, and not remembering all that.
But see, I still feel that too sometimes, this draw to go back.
Well, we're going to.
I miss
weekend.
It. It's like, yeah, and we're going to do it, and we're going to, we'll probably try to take, do you want to try to take some equipment and do a little talking in the back room?
I'm going to give you the equipment. I'm going to go downstairs and have a cocktail. And then from time to time, I'll text you. How's it going up there? Did you connect with the ghost of Edith yet?
Well, we'll have to go back and see. Well, and we'll take some pictures and post it so it makes sense to everybody, too.
Yeah, we can do that.
When we're talking about Edith and the old elevator and all those things. But I get the feeling, what she's talking about, that you kind of feel like you want to go back. And maybe, is it romanticizing it? Or is there something else that's kind of pulling on you?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it feels more like a pull than it does romanticizing it. And I totally relate to what she's talking about. When you first said in the intro today that, you know, was it an attachment? I think that's it. Because I know I've said this on the show before, but one time I was in bed and I was just laying there and I felt somebody reach over and pull my hair out of my face, you know, like they just took their fingers and pushed the hair out of my eyes. It was that weird thing. Like, I felt like they cared about me, you know.
See, then when I'm there by myself, something's crashing in the middle of the night. Like, it's out mm-hmm. to scare me.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm just trying to sleep. I never sleep well anyway. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah. I think that there's a couple things. Could it be the reincarnation angle?
Could be.
Maybe. I kind of like that one.
Make
but then there's
movie.
This kind of evil thing too. And then there's this kind of draw to go back to it. You know?
I don't know.
So it's a lot of things at play in this one.
Yeah, but at the very beginning of that story, she was like, I always thought I was just consistently moving into haunted houses. Maybe she's not. Now, that one I do think was a haunted house.
Well, and like she said, in the South, everything's haunted.
Right. You can't really get away from it.
No, no. Like the one I lived in Iowa, like I always just said, you know, it's not if it's haunted, it's how haunted.
Oh my God. There's so many haunted places in that town. You feel like you can walk down a street and you feel like there are something is watching you out of the.
I know.
Out of these,
the feeling
upstairs.
Of the town is like that.
Yeah.
You know,
like everywhere you go, something's watching me. Well,
yeah.
Just the older part of the town. The newer part of the town doesn't feel like that at all. It's like,
all right,
totally fine.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, it totally has a golf course and you know all that, but
the downtown area. If you like the show and you want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. You can do that through applepodcast.com. If you do that, you can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.